Hey, what's up? Welcome to Movie Dumpster Season 2, Episode 26.
We're back with our Trick or Trash month for October.
We're doing Mr. Boogity today from 1986, directed by Oz Scott. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
I'm Connor, the incompetent ghost McGraw.
Hi, I'm Matt Curione. How's it going?
Welcome to the dumpster.
Daddy, I keep hearing this sneezing.
Believe me, there are no ghosts in this house. Gag City.
I'll get you for this, Carlton.
Just kidding.
Theon, isn't that a little chancy? I mean, this is Halloween, the night when all the creepy things are supposed to stalk the earth.
It deals with demons. Demon resurrection and those forces which roam the forest and dark bowers of man's domain. The first few pages warn that these enduring creatures may lie dormant, but are never truly dead.
It's Halloween, gentlemen. Halloween, have you forgotten?
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Trick or treat.
Yeah, so Matt's back on the show today.
Year to the day, my friend. I have no idea, maybe.
last year he did American Werewolf in Paris with us, ringing in the Trick or Trash month.
Yikes. Started off strong.
Thank you for coming back with a significantly better movie that runs at about half the runtime.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do like this as our October tradition when we kick this off every year. Have Matt come on for the first episode.
I totally agree.
I like it.
Yeah, and please keep bringing shit that I've either never seen or never heard of.
Yeah, we're talking Mr. Boogity today.
Yes.
I didn't know a fucking thing about this movie until today.
What was your childhood?
First of all, this came out the year I was born. It's a failed pilot, so really it getting around to me.
Failed pilot? What are you talking about? This was on the... This was an episode of the Magical World of Disney. Like, this was like...
It is listed on the internet as a failed pilot for what? I don't know.
Mr. Boogity the series?
Maybe. What were they going to do? Keep defeating the same stupid ghost every week?
Well, you know, you have Richard Mazur's going to open up that gag shop, and every week's a different fucking gag with a different ghost, man.
Yeah, but then you know what happens? He fucking slits his wrists in a bathtub, and then that whole thing happens.
Oh my god, you know, I think I just figured it out. After he slits his fucking wrists and writes it on the wall, he's the fucking ghost from Beetleborgs. That's the house.
Oh.
Whatever the fuck his name was, that Joker-looking fuck?
The Jay Leno fucking Elvis-looking motherfucker?
Yeah.
You know, this whole movie is actually based on a deleted line of dialogue from John Carpenter's The Thing. When Wilford Brimley says, "Watch Clark," the next part of the sentence was, "Watch Clark, he's going to make a gag shop in Lucifer Falls."
Wilford, man.
Yes. Well, see, there he is. He's back again. Wilford's coming in.
I'm not an alien.
I'm boogity-boogity-boo. Let me back in.
What's with the noose there, Wilfred? Don't worry about it.
I'm all better now.
I definitely don't have a spaceship under here.
I'm not going to put my fingers into that man's face.
I'm definitely not a ghost with a cape.
Yeah! What?
Okay, so this was made for Disney, the Disney Channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
As Matt was saying. Real quick, the writer is Michael Janover or Janover? It's probably Janover, right?
Sure.
He wrote the screenplay for the Philadelphia Experiment.
Yeah.
And he originally pitched this film to Columbia as a horror spoof in the vein of Airplane and wanted Cheech and Chong to be the starring characters.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Columbia was like, no, we're good. We're going to do Ghostbusters 2 instead.
Well, okay, fair enough.
So was he just like, was he so married to this idea that he would just settle for a 45-minute version where they just stripped everything out of it?
Yes.
I guess. And then Disney was like, that sounds great. Rewrite it all.
Yeah. Cut out half of this. Okay.
Cut out all of it.
I will eviscerate my baby. Here we go.
There's too much boogity. Put him in about 6 minutes.
This is a fucking family film. That has, like, when you really think about it, some really incredibly spooky concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
just like, as window dressing.
Yeah, haunted pilgrims and shit.
Yeah.
You It's there if you want it.
Like, there's a scene towards the end where I was like, wow, if this was like an, if this was Poltergeist or some shit, like, I might be a little scared, but it's just like goofy enough that even like the, let's say, scariest part, for lack of a better way to put it, is still just like bizarre and kooky. And it kind of, it works. It pretty much works.
It pretty much works. There's a lot of awkward moments in this. A
lot of dad jokes.
Did anyone else get the feeling the dad was moving his family to this house so he could brutally murder them and then cut, like, I don't know, bury them and forget about it or something? I got some weird vibes from this guy the whole time.
But it's a gag.
I mean, Derry does a lot of wacky shit to you, man.
See, here's the thing. He sunk all his money into Gags R Us, or whatever the fuck this place is.
Gag City.
He sunk all his
money. I've seen this movie like more times than I can count.
He sunk all his money into Gag City and then bought this fucking haunted house in New England and literally has no money left. And he's like, no, we're not moving. It's not haunted. We're staying here.
No, we can't move.
No, you don't understand. We can't move.
Yeah, we can't move because you'll be dead.
Well, they say, I mean, we're going to crunch this, I'm sure, in a minute, but he does make a... He makes a comment early in the film saying, you know what, it's going to be our first house. And my first thought is like, okay, so were you living in that fucking truck that you're pulling behind you? Like, that fun house?
That is exactly what I thought. I was like, our first house. Well, it beats living in a truck full of hand buzzers, Dad.
Oops, I sat on a joy buzzer. They're the best seller.
Whoopee cushion again, Connor.
How about some fake vomit?
Thanks, Dad.
Dude, this fucking daughter looked like she was at her wit's end with her fucking dad.
These kids looked so stressed, and the parents are like, everything's fine, as their head twists sideways.
We got a hell of a fucking lineup here, folks. Christy Swanson, Buffy the Vampire Slayer herself, is the daughter.
Oh my god, I didn't even notice that.
David Faustino, who's the middle child, he's Bud Bundy from Married with Children.
Yeah.
And Benji Gregory, the little boy, is the fucking main kid, Brian Tanner on Alf.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neil Witherspoon is John Astin, aka Gomez Adams.
Oh my god. I was watching the movie, I was like, who, this guy looks so fucking familiar.
Yeah, it's Gomez.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it bothered me to the point where I was like, I gotta know who the fuck this is, because it's Gomez if he was a hobo, which is why it was distracting.
He just runs the Historical Society in Lucifer Falls. It's fine.
Listen, I've met some Historical Society people, and this kind of lines up.
Yeah, they're weird. They're weirdos.
Do they have a store full of mannequins that they dress up?
Of course.
I don't want to get into details, but not far from it.
George C. Scott was like, you know what? I don't want this haunted house. I'm going to take the yellow one with the kid in the wheelchair.
I get that reference now. But yeah, Benji Gregory, the little kid from Alf. How about him, huh? That's why he's not in the sequel.
Yeah.
Because he was doing Alf.
Oh, yeah, there's a sequel. Bride of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bride of Boogity.
It's way better.
I found out about both of these movies in the past, like, week or two. And then, like, Matt was like, I texted Matt, like, an hour ago. He's like, yeah, I watched both today. I was like, what do you mean both? I was like, there's two of these things?
In Connor's head, he's like, it was a failed pilot. What do you mean there's two?
Yeah, there's a sequel movie. Yes. It's just
How do you make a failed pilot twice?
Just to round it out, we got Richard Masser,
yes,
who is Stan from the It, the original It with Tim Curry, and he's the dad. He's also the dad in License to Drive, and I think he's Dan Aykroyd's brother in My Girl.
Yes, isn't he also the dad in Encino Man?
He very well might be.
I think so. I vaguely remember him in that.
He's one of those guys that we talk about on the show sometimes. He's a that guy. Like, to a T.
Yeah.
Oh, he's totally a bad guy.
Richard Masser, he's great.
Yeah, he's in Multiplicity and other stuff like that. What do I see here?
He's in Stuff. Not The Stuff. Let's not confuse the two.
He's in The Thing. He's in The Thing. That's what matters.
Oh, yeah, he's in The Thing. Duh. What am I even talking about?
He's Clark.
Yeah.
Hence the Wilford Brimley joke. Come on, guys.
Oh, my God. He is... Holy shit. He is impossible to recognize under that fucking hat.
Okay, now I know why it's impossible to recognize is because everyone watched a horrible VHS rip of this thing. And that's why you can't recognize who fucking Gomez Adams is.
That is exactly why I couldn't recognize Masser as...
You're telling me you did not rent this on YouTube? For $3?
No, first of all, I was vehemently against that, because I was like, it has to exist somewhere, and lo and behold...
It sure does.
It does.
Vimeo, where everything lives.
Well, they're actually doing a, they're doing an HD restoration of this, so get ready for that.
Why not?
Is it going to be in 16:9 or 4:3?
Who the fuck knows? It's going to be on Disney Plus next month.
Is it really?
Yep, it's part of their included spooky content that they have.
I'll watch it.
As long as they have the old school Jonathan Winters like Halloween special with like the Mickey Mouse cartoons, I'll be happy.
Yes. Yeah, that would be cool.
With the fucking fake Ghostbusters?
Jesus, I hope so.
They have like all 19 Halloween Town movies too.
Matt, you want to crunch this? You seem to be the resident expert on this film.
Oh, what, Mr. Buggity? Yeah, sure I am, actually. I reference these movies all the time and people give me weird looks. They're like, what the fuck is Mr. Buggity? I'm like, it's classic. You children, what do you want to know?
Give us a plot crunch of this.
The plot crunch, all right. Yeah, so this family, they move into Lucifer Falls. They move up.
Sorry.
Yeah, great name for a town, right? They move to Lucifer Falls. It's going to be their first house. Too bad it's a haunted house. They run into Gomez Adams. He's the leader of the historical society in this Lucifer Falls town. And he basically tells them, you should just leave. Get out. Get the hell out of here.
Pretty much.
This is very, very dangerous. Get the hell out.
And then it turns out they're being haunted by an angry pilgrim man?
They are.
In a cloak?
They're being haunted by the angry pilgrim man and a sad pilgrim boy.
P.S., we'll get to it, but the little boy is somebody from a movie that's near and dear to me.
Troll?
No, Munchie.
Oh no, Munchie?
Is Munchie the one that's like another Gremlins ripoff?
It's the sequel to the Gremlins ripoff.
How did I fucking know? I stumbled across that, just a quick side note. I stumbled across that recently and I was like, this is just a Gremlins ripoff. And my second thought was, Joe probably loves this movie.
I do. I do. Well, there's three of them. There's Munchies, the original one.
That's the one I saw.
Munchie, which is, there's a singular Munchie voiced by Dom DeLuise.
Of course there is.
And there's a sequel called Munchie Strikes Back.
Okay. Oh, well, now you've turned me on to it.
They just borrow naming conventions from several, like, Aliens, but just swap the order.
Yeah, sure. It even says right on the fucking tape, it says the Smash sequel to Munchies. And I'm like, no, it's not. It has nothing to do with it.
Smash hit.
So we open up on this, and what's the fucking name of these fam? What's their last name?
No idea.
No idea?
The Weasleys.
The Davises.
The Davises. The Davises are having a picnic or some shit in their fucking Gags or Us mobile.
Yes.
No, that's just dinner. They live in that van.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their
house.
They
live there.
Uncle Eddie's driving the fucking car with his fucking robot teeth and everything.
And man, there's like a whole, like throughout this whole film, like I get it, like, you know, the family runs the dad runs the gag shop, but like the kids are like super into it, like the little kids.
Of course they are.
Yeah, and they're like throwing fake puke at their sister, and they have the fucking glasses with the eyeballs that pop out and shit.
This looks like the most exhausting man to be married to, because it doesn't seem like there's a single second that goes by where he's not like, it's like, oh, breakfast is served. Oh, look, your eggs are rubber.
And they're spray guns. They're spray eggs.
Yeah, that was the kicker.
Yeah, how long does that go for? The wife is like, I want a fucking divorce.
Here's a fucking game for you. Here's a game for the people at home. Watch this movie, and every time he says he was kidding, take a shot.
I'd be fucking dead.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Especially there's one point towards the end where I think he says it 4 times in a row. You'd be just on the floor.
In the sequel, he says it about 10 times in a row. because he gets possessed by Mr. Boogity and he floats around the room and he's just saying, just kidding, just kidding. And they're like, well, he's clearly been possessed by a ghost. What's he doing? He's possessed by a ghost.
I don't know. It sounds like Dad's just kidding.
Clearly, if you're possessed by Boogity, you just say your catchphrase over and over again, much like Boogity does.
Yeah, he takes a nap on the ceiling. It's great.
Definitely did not steal that from Mary Poppins.
Well, they can't steal it from Mary Poppins. They own that IP.
Oh.
It's Disney.
Well, now it's all canon, so.
Got you.
Yeah.
There you go. So they roll up to this house, this haunted house in New England, which signed me the fuck up for this, because it seems like you got a good deal on it.
Oh, this is fucking Whipstaff, like.
Oh, yeah. 666 Shadowbrook Road.
Yeah. Realtor C.B. Karloff. And I was sitting there wondering, is this guy related to fucking Boris Karloff, or is he related to C.B. Smith? And I gotta ask Smith now to see if he has any relation.
It's a universal, merging.
Somebody's grandmother slept with somebody's grandfather. It's a complicated thing.
I could see it. I mean, maybe C.B.'s related to Karloff. I don't know.
It's possible.
They did the fusion dance.
Oh, God, imagine, and C.B. Smith came out? I mean, he did just do that Bambi review, guys. It was pretty fucked up. You got to check it out. But, yeah, they this fucking house, it's a beautiful house, but it looks like the goddamn Drainiac house. It's so fucking beat up and in shambles.
It sure does.
I was waiting for Plumber to walk around the corner at some point.
I heard the gut boogity. We got a boogity in the pipes.
You got a boogity. I don't deal with boogities. I only deal with Drainiac.
I don't do the boogities. Could I have some whiskey?
Oh, we got phantasms here.
It's been 25 years since I stepped into the Drainiac house. See ya.
Yeah. We're gonna call somebody else.
And he runs away.
Doesn't even shave his beard.
And he just leaves like, oh, by the way, you're about out of Coors. See ya.
Got a date with Granny.
They go inside and like, this house is like, first of all, like outside, you're like, cool, haunted house. You go inside, you're like, oh, never mind. That should be condemned. It's just cobwebs and dirt and dust and like, it doesn't look livable at all. Like, he's like, oh, yeah. The dad's like, oh, it's a fixer-upper. I'm like, no, it's a fucking bulldoze it and start over kind of project.
Yeah, it's a total mess.
This is like an old fucking MDU cliche at this point. Like, we had the fucking house and House of the Dead. The guy's doing lab experiments. Everything's covered in dust. And then American Werewolf in Paris, fucking Seraphine's house is covered in dust. Like, what is with people in these fucking movies? No one's got a goddamn duster?
Well, Matt said it best last time. It's because it's spooky. You gotta keep it spooky.
Oh.
But in House of the Dead, that place was so secretly sterile, you could keep a slide of blood on it, and the cells would still move around, like 50 years later.
This blood is 75 million years old, but I'm gonna make some zombies.
It's still not somehow clotted.
No. Spanish magician or some shit.
I mean, it was G's blood, to be fair.
So they're looking for the lights, and Mom picks up a fucking skull? She's
yes.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's not the light switch. She thought it was a lamp or some shit, right?
Yeah, and picks it up, like, and she's like, I found a lamp! And then they get some Oops. Light on it, and she's like, ah!
John Astin comes in, and he's like, hi, how you doing? Did you buy the house?
Don't gloss over his entrance like that, okay? He is dressed like Jack the fucking Ripper.
Damn right he
standing
is.
In the shadows with a fucking 10-gallon hat on.
Yeah, he's not even like, there's no entrance. He's just hiding in their house.
He's in the house.
He's like the fucking Babadook in there, man. He's just covered in shadows.
Speaking of Karloff, he looks like fucking Ivertilak from fucking Black Sunday.
Yes!
Yeah, he's dressed like a 1930s horror character.
Yeah.
Like, he's got his fucking eyes are all done. He's got his big old hat and his collared fucking jacket.
The fucking Babadook.
Boogity.
Oh, man. And he's like, hello, this house is fucked. You should leave.
Yes.
Well, the pisser is he goes up to that fucking skull the mom was playing with, and he reaches into, like, the eyeball and turns the switch and all the lights turn on.
He fucking fingers that eye socket and the lights turn on. And I'm like, he really is Gomez.
Yeah, you know, with the Uncle Fester connection. Although, you know, in that version of the Addams Family, Fester was like his cousin or some shit or Morticia's brother. But we're going to forget that.
My brother!
Unless we're talking about, you know, the ABC Family version when, you know, there was a different cast, but then John Astin came in as, like, Grandpa Adams. You know, I've got the fucking deep Adams Family lore here all packed in my head.
Clearly.
I didn't know there was an ABC Family Adams Family.
Well, you know, when your dad's a huge fucking Adams Family fan, you watch the ABC Family fucking renewal when it came out.
No.
Yeah, but you know
oh,
what?
No.
You can keep that and that new Munsters they did? Yeah, no thanks.
What?
There was a new Munsters?
Oh, Mockingbird Lane?
Some shit like that. I don't know.
I liked it.
Of course you did.
I liked it.
I'm going to have to look that up.
It was a pilot. That was it. And they never got picked up. It's a shame.
Oh, I'm talking about there was like, I think it was like an ABC Family, like the Munsters, like do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about the thing that was done by the guy who did Hannibal, Brian Fuller.
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, fuck. It's awesome.
Is it good?
Jerry O'Connell is in it.
Okay.
Eddie Izzard plays Grandpa.
Whoa.
What?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's actually awesome. Like, it's like this, like, weird, darkish reboot of the Munsters. Portia de Rossi is Lily. Like,
what?
Yeah, man.
How did I
yeah.
miss this? I totally missed
this. How did
this
get by all of us?
Yeah. It's from 2012. Yeah.
And it's that old? Jesus. I don't know how I missed that. Anyway, I got to check it out.
Jerry O'Connell is Munster. He basically, Grandpa creates him because, like, no one's good enough for his daughter.
That's pretty interesting. I like
so he's
that.
Like, well, he's like, fine, I'll just make a guy for her.
Oh, man. But does he talk like Al Lewis, though?
No.
Oh, I wish he did.
He kind of talks like Eddie Izzard.
Which is also pretty great.
Yeah, definitely try to track that down. It's fucking cool.
That sounds fascinating. But John Astin's, this is where the hand buzzer gag actually happens. He walks up, shakes his hand, and he gets his little zap. He's like, hand buzzer? And the dad's like, yeah, I sell them by the box. And John Astin pauses and goes, they expensive?
That Gomez, always for a bargain.
And kind of he pauses as if to ask, like, okay, well, how much for a bundle? Like,
yeah, right?
Yeah, right? I was waiting for him to be like, how can you get me a deal?
Yeah, how lucrative is this?
Can I have a box to just put in Historical Society? It'll just sit there and collect dust, but maybe someone will buy one.
Do you have a business partner?
Maybe Eugene Levy can use them in the sequel.
Yeah, I think he does.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Eugene Levy's in the sequel, yes.
I need to see this now. Listen, I knew what it was, but I've never seen it, so now I need to track this shit down ASAP.
It's fucking great.
That man doesn't say no to anything. But this is where he's like, John Astin's like, this house is ultra spooked. You should move right now, even
out.
Though you just moved your entire family up here with all your stuff and what is seemingly your house on wheels.
Mind you, this man has just been sitting in the dark waiting for them to come.
For who knows how long.
He's not even a supernatural being. He's the fucking head of the Historical Society.
Yeah, that's it.
He's been sitting in their living room the whole time.
He's just chilling.
I mean, let's be honest, guys. He was probably squatting in there, and he heard somebody's truck pull up, and he had to, you know, fix his shirt and fucking stand there and wait for it to make an entrance.
Sir, aren't you going to go home? Well, here's the thing.
The jig is up. You gotta move out, because there's a ghost.
Kind of been camped up here for a while. I'm the head of the Historical Society.
Randy Quaid's in the other room.
Charging.
Oh, no. Get him out of here.
Bosh, I cleaned the cobwebs, Bosh.
I told you not to clean the cobwebs.
More cobwebs.
Fucking 63.
And then he fucks the vacuum cleaner.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, the fucking one that the clown pops out of later?
Yes. Yeah, that would turn him on.
Oops.
This thing's sucking me nice.
What?
And, of course, the dad's like, move on. No, we're here for
We're stuck.
I made bad investments. That's it. The buck stops here.
Dude, look, and when he walks in and this house is in fucking shambles, he's like, yeah, see? A fixer-upper. Isn't this great? He's like Ray in fucking Ghostbusters.
Does this pole still work?
This is wonderful.
This is I'm gonna get my stuff.
We should sleep here, you know, try it out.
Dad, we live here now. Oh, yeah. Well, I was just kind of fucking with you. Yeah, get your stuff. Pick your bed.
How many rubber eggs do they need to sell to make the mortgage on this house?
First of all, this guy ain't selling any rubber eggs, because I don't think anyone but, like, a third grader is going to buy a rubber egg.
Who in the middle of New England's like, you know what? We need a gag shop out here ASAP.
Your kind of business is exactly what this dead colonial town has been needing for years.
Gag City is a profitable enterprise, apparently.
Apparently. I know. I saw Harry Potter.
In the sequel, it's a profitable enterprise.
Everybody's buying whoopee cushions and fake puke.
It's the most popular place in town.
You know, Silly Putty was hot around 84.
Having lived in a Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey, and living in some place where just like, wow, time has glossed over this area, where you can watch a go, what's that opening across the street? Oh, it's called The Cauldron. It sells occult items and all kinds of other stuff. Oh, it'll be gone in a week.
Mm-hmm. Sure will.
Yeah.
But Gag City would be there for a century.
It would.
On the note of them coming in this house and talking about it being a fixer-upper, I don't see any beds being brought in, mattresses, sheets, plates, anything like that.
They lived in their truck.
So are you telling me they just laid down on these dusty fucking beds?
Yes.
Why?
First of all, they constructed crude bedrooms by stocking up all those boxes of hand buzzers everywhere. That's the only thing I ever see moved into this fucking house, is boxes of bullshit.
Where's the clown wigs? I need to use it as a pillow.
Yeah. Sleep on this vacuum cleaner.
And then we get the... So John Astin's like... he's talking to Christy Swanson at one point, and he's like, I got a son your age.
Yeah.
He's a fucking weirdo.
That we never see.
No, and that's the way that ends. He's just like, yep, he's strange.
Because he's out in fucking Mordor dropping off a ring. That's why he's not around. That's why his son isn't around. I got a son, he's got hairy feet.
He's telling stories in a fucking tent somewhere about donkey lips and fucking getting his arm rips off by fucking giant mutant flies. Deep cut the willies. Come on, guys.
Nope.
I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right over my head.
Maybe we'll do that one because it's fucking great. Next summer.
It's sitting on my shelf.
I thought you were referencing Stranger Things.
Thanks for that one, Joe. I have that because of you.
Oh, good. Enjoy that.
Buffy. I'm just gonna call her.
Yeah, Christy.
Name I forget. Yeah, she's like wandering the house, and she hears ghostly sneezing. Which, like, as far as haunted houses go, I kind of sat there and went, like, that's actually a new one on me, and I'm not sure how I'd feel if I just heard disembodied sneezing.
No, thank you.
I thought that's why he was called Mr. Boogity. And I was like, oh, because he's sick and he, like, shoots boogers and shit all over the place? But that's not the case, unfortunately.
No. He just looks like a booger.
Well, she's walking around the house, and there's this fucking poltergeist room. With the lights coming out around the fucking door.
Yeah, the Lords of Salem room.
Yeah, yeah. She's walking up. Huh, that doesn't seem right. Huh.
The Lords of Salem room.
There's a giant slimy fucking disgusting undulating tunnel in the closet.
Damn right.
And then so another door to Coraline's upside down where people have buttons for eyes.
Oh. I love when she's going upstairs before she goes in this room. She's like, geez, you think nobody around here has ever heard of Bruce Springsteen? And I'm like, thank God nobody has.
And that's when I knew these people were from fucking New Jersey, and they finally got out.
It's not many.
It is impossible for anything, even a haunted house in New England, to not know what Bruce Springsteen is, okay?
In the 80s. Especially.
Yeah, in 1986, come on, I'm surprised the house didn't sing the streets of Philadelphia back to her, okay?
It's not many. Y'all gonna get boogity now.
Boogity in a haunted house.
What in my mouth? I hate Bruce Springsteen, by the way.
She opens the fucking door.
She opens this fucking door, and then she gets spooked like a librarian from Ghostbusters. She's like, and then she kind of, like, goes comatose for a couple seconds.
Yeah, she passes out.
Meanwhile, the brothers are in the fucking basement, and like Matt was talking about earlier, the younger brother, fucking Alf, he puts the teddy bear that he's carrying around on this little tiny-ass rocking chair, and Bud calls him over to, like, look at something they see, like, in the corner, and, you know, the parents call him up to come upstairs, and they turn around, and Alf's like, oh, my teddy's gone.
Yep, Teddy got took.
Teddy got taken by the other ghost kid?
The ghost child.
Oh, no, we gotta call Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I heard you took a bear.
Liam Neeson comes in that house and just, like, goes full close quarters combat and Mr. Boogity and just, like, breaks his arm in four places and then straps into an electric chair.
Oh, my God. And he's just like, boogity boo-hoo-hoo.
He's like, tell me what I need to know, and he stabs him in the thighs.
I mean, based on the way this movie ends, that could actually happen. He's going to strap fucking one end of power cables to his nutsack and another to a fucking car battery and call it a day.
Yep. And the rocking chair moves, doesn't it?
Yeah, it like rocks back and forth.
Yeah, it goes dun 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 dun.
Yes.
I got an A on the math test.
I got an A.
But you got a C on the science test. Anyway, so...
Now we get rubber eggs. Rubber egg breakfast.
Yeah, and eat the eggs. The Alf kid says, like, giving it away immediately.
Yeah, the kid who's just, yeah, the kid.
Eat the eggs.
Try the eggs.
Okay.
Try the eggs.
Dad, I'm tired. Dad, I'm tired of this.
Then I'm going to shoot you in the face with a fucking squirting egg.
Does this guy get up like an hour before his family to set up all these fucking gags? Because he's also got like a piece of tape or some shit strung to the fucking toaster oven to fuck with his wife who's making waffles or something.
So you guys just moved in. Are you doing any unpacking or are you just like getting all your gags ready for the morning?
Listen, remember, they're just using all the furniture that was there. They took a Clorox wipe to some of it, not all of it, some of it, and they're good to go.
Also, like, the wife isn't laughing at any of this shit.
Okay, I think the wife has gone over the deep end a long time ago.
Okay, because when the kids come back to the house later, all of a sudden she's into it now.
Oh, you should see her in the second one. She loves it.
I know, man. Up until this point, the fucking screw finally came loose because, like,
yeah.
She's like... This is stupid. This is dumb.
She's like, I guess this is my life now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a moment in this movie where I think we see the glass crack, like, in her brain, where she just starts, like, laughing insanely at something that's really fucking stupid.
Especially with that laugh, she must have gone insane. But she's like, She sounds like a fucking donkey that got kicked in the balls.
Fucking, like, she goes full Martha Wayne Joker. She's losing her fucking mind.
It's almost time. The secret code is Gag City. Send us a direct message on Instagram for a chance to win this week's Trick or Trash giveaway. Again, the secret code is Gag City. And remember, kids, the clock is ticking. Don't miss it.
I also have to say, like, even though this scene kind of sets up more so that this dad's a fucking prankster, it really doesn't accomplish anything, because we could have just had this next scene happen instead of this scene and the scene prior to it.
But you get those cool eggs.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't have had the eggs, but, you know, instead of her opening the closet, seeing something, but not really seeing something, rubber eggs, toaster oven, squirting egg, it goes then right back to her walking down this fucking hallway, like, at nighttime with her robe on, going back down to that fucking doorway.
Yeah, what is with that?
Plus, this time, man, not only does she see Boogity, she sees a friend of, well, I'm going to rephrase that. She sees fucking Zool, man, like, straight up.
I was going to say, this was very, the Ghostbuster references are flying fast and loose here.
It's 1986, man, like.
It is very Sigourney Weaver opening her refrigerator. Yeah.
Right on the fucking heels.
Yeah, the fucking rubber eggs and everything.
Except these didn't cook themselves on the table.
Oh my god, I didn't even make that connection. She gets knocked out, and then apparently all her family's like surrounding her when she wakes up, and her mom goes, "You just kept saying over and over again, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home."
With a really awkward close-up of just her face, like, right over, just hovering over her daughter.
Well, Connor, haven't you ever seen The Wizard of Oz?
I don't know what that is. Someone please remind me.
It's a movie.
It's a movie? Oh, we're referencing films. Oh, I see what we're doing now.
Oh.
A talkie, if you will.
A talkie.
My point is, I think they were like, obviously they're making a Wizard of Oz joke, but I think I wonder if they were trying to do like a one-to-one where it's like, oh, remember when Dorothy woke up? Well, it's the same exact shot.
Except far more disturbing for some reason. Because her mom's not concerned at all. She's like, you passed out, and then you said that line from that movie.
You had them fucking red slippers on or whatever's.
I don't remember buying you those.
Is that from the fucking Gag City or what?
They have gag ruby slippers. You click your heels and they just squirt you with water.
Your fucking feet curl up.
I don't understand this. Was this Mr. Boogity's actual footprints or just more bullshit from the dad?
Oh, yeah, there's fucking footprints. And the dad's like, oh, yeah, Gomez put these here. Hey, you know, hey, look, I could take them off and stick them to my face. A thing I've never seen before. I'm just going to pick it up and slap it on.
This guy's putting this ectoplasmic footprint shit like all over his face and stuff. He's like, look, it's great. It sticks to everything. I'm going to make a fortune. It's going to put Pickles Toys on the map.
Pickles Toys. What, is he going to fucking pterodactyl robot in the basement?
He might. He's fucking bopping his boppo.
Like, imagine if his face just started fucking melting.
I wish.
Or at the very least, he breaks out in something horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? He's got that Boogity juice on him.
He starts to look like Boogity. He looks like that one guy in fucking Thinner that gets turned into a lizard person.
This movie gets really dark really fast.
You guys talk about Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2, but this next fucking scene really seals the deal. The fucking kids, the two brothers, Alf and Merritt, and Married with Children, they're fucking in the kitchen like...
Wait, what? They're fucking in the kitchen?
They're what?
No!
God damn!
They're in the fucking kitchen. Christ!
This movie gets really dark really fast.
Alf.
Yeah, Alf's fucking one of them, probably. Let's be real. Looking for a goddamn cat.
You better be quiet about this, kid.
No problem.
But it's really like Frank Oz with his hand up the puppet's ass.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So they're in the kitchen, and they're joking about how the sister's a moron for getting scared. This house isn't haunted. Yeah, it's not haunted. Well, then you get the old man-eating toaster trick, and this fucking toaster starts dancing all over the place.
And the cabinets are going crazy.
Yeah, that number one Christmas boutique gift item fucking goes nuts.
I like how these kids walk up to it, and their first reaction to seeing a levitating toaster is to go, no strings. Like, that means your dad will likely drive you to wit's end at some point, because if you're just questioning everyday appliances all the time, like, all right, where's the gimmick? Like,
I can almost see, like, what Matt was talking about earlier, how this was originally, like, pitched as a horror movie, like a spoof. Because I could almost see that in, like, a legit horror movie where people think it's like a fucking gag because they have this like wacko dad, and it's like actually it's some fucking like ghost about to like ruin your day.
When did Student Bodies come out though? That came out in like 1980, didn't it?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, dude, you never saw Student Bodies?
I have no idea what that is.
Oh, man, it's like a slasher. It's like a spoof on all the slasher movies, like way before like Scary Movie and all that shit. It's legitimately great.
So they see the toaster moving, and they're like, hey, let's go outside for the first time and only time in this movie. And they decided to go to the fucking Lucifer Falls Historical Society, where Mr. Witherspoon is passed out on a table.
Love Mr. Witherspoon. Because, I mean, what else are you going to do at a historical society?
Sleep in a pile of dust.
You take a nap.
I'm surprised this guy wasn't like Blossom from Christmas That Almost Wasn't with the fucking cobwebs on his shirt.
I'm going to tell you all about the Boogity House now.
Oh my God. We got to make a phone call for this scene. I got to knock on the fucking bartender's wall.
Ah, yes. This is where the MDU references are going to fly fast and loose, because I think we found the opposite deity to Woody Harrelson's bartender character.
Look, I'm only going to say this once, but there's an opposite of me.
Yeah, I have my own reverse Flash.
I have my own reverse Flash. His name... what's his name?
And it's not Matthew McConaughey. It's not Van Zandt.
No. Nah. His name's John Ashton.
And he has pop-up funnies.
And he has a pop-up funny book that's just as powerful.
Is he like the other side of the coin? Like, is he his yin to his yang?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he is the anti-monitor to Woody's monitor character, okay? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta send the Green Lantern Corps after him and fucking Superman.
He's the fucking eater of worlds.
End of children.
Yeah, end of children. But he's very casual about it, and he only has just the one book, and it's just the Book of Doom.
This is also the Christmas book from Santa's sleigh that's locked up in a safe that he likes to pull out. What's his face likes to pull out?
Yeah.
What is it, the Necromonicon shows up in fucking Jason Goes to Hell? It's an Evil Dead. Like,
that's exactly what it is. It ties everything together.
Yeah.
It's like the never-ending story.
And eventually there'll be a comic book come out where fucking John Astin fights Woody Harrelson.
Sign me up.
I wouldn't honestly be surprised if Daniel Baldwin printed this out of fucking the Buchanan mobile and handed it to him like a pop-up funny.
Like Biff, he like walks to the store and he's like, here, make like a tree and get out of here with this.
And John Aston's just sleeping, doesn't respond, wakes up and says, oh, little lore about the town, okay.
Oh, a new book.
As Daniel Baldwin chugs a fucking bottle of tequila on his way out.
Yeah, Dolphin dives out the fucking window, doesn't use the door.
And then he yells at some old lady, don't fuck with me.
Boogity boogity boo, lady.
Yeah, boogity boogity boo. Yeah, stand still while I hit you with this fire axe.
Oh my God. Is Daniel Baldwin, like, okay, listen, work with me for a second. Is Daniel Baldwin this fucking pilgrim?
It could be.
In a former life?
I mean, the character we've seen Daniel Baldwin play in every movie we've seen so far, and movies I've seen him that we didn't do Movie Dumpster for, he is the kind of guy who'd get really upset about being turned down by a woman so he'd kidnap her flu-stricken son.
Yeah, and hold him for ransom.
And hold her hostage for 3 centuries.
With a magic cloak. Well, we already know that he has time-traveling powers, so there you go.
I mean, it's either that or it's his great-great-great-grandfather. Granddaddy Baldwin.
He's his own grandpa.
The Great Boogity Family.
When they landed on Plymouth Rock, the Great Boogity Family. Yeah,
the Boogities. We came here in the great ship Boogity.
We built our town where Lucifer could be reached, so we called it Lucifer Falls.
Are they related to the Spookies? I think so.
So this is where we get a lore dump from John Astin's, like, basically where he earns his paycheck.
Yep. Telling a spooky story.
He's like, yeah, the ghost of Mr. Boogity. He was a piece of shit pilgrim who didn't know how to take no for an answer.
He had horrible people skills.
He made advances on a woman that didn't want it.
Yeah, he asked a woman out and she said no. So he's like, I'm going to kidnap your son.
I'm going to make a deal with the devil and get a fucking cape that'll make you love me.
What is this, Harry Potter? I know I've already said that a few times, but like, holy shit.
I love the devil in this.
Thank you, Matt. Because the devil in this is hysterical.
He's like, just classic devil.
Yeah, he looks like Pitch from Santa Claus.
Yeah, I was going to say, he looks like he does remind me of the devil from that, is it Spanish? The Spanish Santa Claus movie?
Yeah. pitches his
name. Where he's like dancing around on this shit. But like at some point, he puts this cloak on. What, this guy's name is Hanover before he became Mr. Boogity?
William Hanover.
He's the godfather of the pretzels.
Didn't we have someone else recently in a movie named Hanover?
Yeah, Sagat.
Wes Studi.
Yeah, Wes Studi.
Oh, that's right, Hanover.
So he's related to Mr. Boogity.
Oh, that makes a little bit more sense. Pantucci's off the side with a fucking gun. He goes to toss it to him.
Peanut.
In this flashback, like, Hanover's just, like, fucking just scowling at this woman, and then, like, the devil, like, walks up behind him, like, here you go, here's a cloak, sir, you look fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, rubbing his shoulder. The great fit, Hanover, you do fine.
But he makes a deal with Lucifer not to, like, you know, make him immortal, to give him superpowers to, like, kill the woman.
No, give me a magic cape. The devil's like, I could do so much more for you, and you just want a cloak. And he's like, yup, give me that cloak. And he's like, all right, it's your deal.
It's a nice cloak.
I mean, a nice cloak.
Yeah. This isn't like a party fair cloak. This is like a party city cloak. You know, this is nice.
It really brings the boogity together.
The Quaker Oats guy would kill for this cloak. Okay.
Damn right. He's the best.
Yeah, it's that cloak. That's that cloak they give Fezzik at the end of Princess Bride.
Yeah, I mean, Witchfinder General is jealous.
Well, not only does he get this cloak, I guess he does get some form of magic powers, because as he goes to activate them, I suppose he just doesn't understand them, and he blows his fucking house up.
Kills everyone, yes.
With this kid that he's kidnapped, this widow that wouldn't marry him's kid.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, so he wants to marry this widow. She says no. Her son has a cold. So he kidnaps her son, and he's like, come get her. And then the story ends with, and then he blew up.
And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much it. And even Married with Children and Alf are like, he blew up. And he's like, yep, didn't know how to use the cape. Bye. Get out of the shop now.
Get out.
Everyone's a ghost now. Isn't that a great story? Goodbye.
And they all live in your house, because even though he blew up his house, the house that was built on there is haunted now.
Take a hand buzzer on your way out.
But they say multiple houses have been built in this property ever since. I'm like, how? What do you mean?
I said this was the Drainiac house, but honestly, since we're talking about Stanley Uris, it's probably that fucking house they go to in it.
Oh my God, it's the house on Nebold Street?
Yeah, Pennywise is in that goddamn fridge.
Oh, the fucking well is down in the basement? That's where Mr. Boogity's hanging out, yeah.
This is a real safe house.
That means you should move.
Yeah.
You know, John Astin, he keeps talking to it in the fucking fridge. He thinks it's his goddamn cousin or something. It's the wrong guy, but he doesn't know that.
Pennywise is like, I don't know you, leave.
Listen, it's his brother-in-law, and that's the sequel, okay?
He's like, hey, it, where'd your hair go? Is that what you look like without it? Well, I'm not following this.
Tim Curry's talking to me through my fucking sink. Betty Ripsom's down there.
What's up, Johnny boy?
It's both of them, fucking Tim Curry and Skarsgård are both there. Like, Tim Curry's in the sink and Skarsgård's in the fucking fridge.
It's Corey Feldman and Corey Haim talking to him through the sink.
Dad, let me borrow the car. I need it. I didn't get my license today.
Seth Green walks in. Oh, wrong film.
Oops.
So the story is basically, yeah, even as ghosts, he won't release this grip on this poor child who's had a cold for 300 years.
Yeah, he's been sneezing all over this place.
You know, the mom can't get the kid because she's not allowed in the house because she wouldn't,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she's just stuck outside as a ghost.
The magic has banned her from going into the house?
Yes. And it keeps the child within.
Or whatever.
For a deal that he didn't really work out at all, it has a lot of fucking, like, caveats.
It keepeth the child in there.
A lot of ith in this movie.
Rumpelstiltskin wrote this script.
Fucketh me, is what I have to say.
Exactly.
And they're like, okay, well, that was useless. Bye, weird Jack the Ripper man.
Well, I'm done.
Peace, Gomez.
And then, yeah, and John Astin's like, and John Astin punches his card and goes and collects his check.
Damn right. He doesn't have anything else to do.
Which is funny because Richard Masser is a former president of the Screen Actors Guild, I believe. his position was. What is it?
Wow.
I think he still is.
24th president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Wow. Okay.
Good for him.
Well, this was before he slit his wrists in the bathtub, to be fair.
This is before he was consumed by an alien from outer space.
So then we go to this fucking scene you guys kind of alluded to earlier, where the kids go back to the house after their little investigation. And, you know, The dad just has one gag after another fucking setup. He hasn't unpacked any of their fucking stuff. He hasn't cleaned the house, but he's got a fucking vacuum.
Yeah, that shoots ping pong balls or something.
Cause why not?
Mothballs.
It's a shop vac.
And it shoots them with like the force of like a snowflake. Like it barely touches. It's like poof.
The mom says that he had it commissioned before they moved. And I was like, that was the last of the petty cash, wasn't it?
That's what they spent their money on. Yes, he's very good with financial decisions.
I think you're underselling this vacuum, though, because
it's so extravagant.
Not only does like it suck up mothballs and shoot them back at people, but also like when he tells the daughter to fucking turn it on, this clown pops out of it like it's some fucking like jack-o'-lantern or jack-in-the-box.
Well, it's a gag-in-the-box.
Oh. Hey, Matt, does he sell a bunch of those in the second one?
The Jack in the Box?
The vacuum.
No, he dresses up as the clown, though.
Oh.
That's inside the vacuum.
Dude, there's like clowns all over this fucking van, and they like have their tongue sticking out, but it looks so weird.
It's very bizarre. It's a weird logo design that I don't care for.
He's also got like a life-size mummy that he bought, made, created.
Hell yeah.
He's like, "Duck, this is great, isn't it?" I'm like, Dad, why are you spending the money for groceries on gags?
Because it's his life.
I bought a full-size adult mummy.
Let me follow my dreams, kids. I'm not going to let three children and a wife drag me down. I'm going to get a mummy. This is my life. Just kidding.
Just kidding. But I really did spend all your college funds on whoopee cushions.
Just kidding.
I know you're all scared of the ghosts, but here's an albino gorilla mask.
Dad, sorry I couldn't get you with the Dr. Zaius costume again.
What about my Technicolor dream coat? What do you think?
Well, the parents, they don't believe him about Boogity. Meanwhile, like Connor was saying earlier, the mother finally starts cracking up at all these fucking jokes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she goes full on, like, fucking donkey laughing at these stupid-ass jokes.
She sounds like a mule in heat.
I mean, she very well might be. Let's be real. Again, footprints. So then, they don't believe them about Boogity, and then, you get, the coup de grace when the fucking piano starts playing by itself and shit starts moving, these fucking fake hands start clapping.
I like this part.
It gets dangerously close to playing a full-on
Well, it's a pretty good show. I mean, Boogity knows how to put on a hell of a show, I'll give him that.
For a guy that hates everybody, he sure knows how to entertain people.
Yeah, it's very Peter Gabriel Sledgehammer for a second, like, everything's going off for a couple seconds.
Yeah, there's like a fucking, so the mummy's like dancing in the corner, the fucking player piano's going off.
The mummy is ska dancing, okay?
Oh, he's skanking around out there.
It's skanking around the living room.
And the fucking, the monster glove hands are like clapping in beat, like in midair. And this is the scene where like all the shit just stops and the kids are like, Dad, can we leave now? And he's like, what are you talking about? It's not haunted. We can't leave. It's funny. I tell you what, instead of leaving, let's camp out. What do you say? We got sleeping bags. And they're like, okay.
Which, first of all, like, since I haven't seen anyone actually with a bed, I'm just assuming the sleeping bags have been there the whole time. And Dad's finally like, let's use them.
Dad, a rat got in my sleeping bag again. I just hit it with a rubber mallet.
Give it a rubber egg. It'll go away.
The rubber eggs are poisonous. Just let it eat it.
Spray them with the fucking flour.
This leads us to a lot more of the taketh and keepeth when I believe the mom... Then she runs into the ghost, right?
Yeah, she gets up to get like a midnight snack, P.S.
She wants some Ritz crackers. It's fine.
Some Ritz crackers? She's got an entire cheese platter on a piece of fucking paper plate.
She's amazing. She's my hero. she's waking up to... She's either pregnant or she's me.
Yeah, she's...
She's working on her night cheese.
She woke up and burned a fat fucking Jay and got the munchies, okay? That's what happened.
I was gonna say, she's either pregnant or, like, this is, like, a leftover joke about smoking a giant doob from that fucking other movie that he pitched.
How do you think she deals with her husband? She gets high all the time.
I guess that's why she was laughing already.
Lots of night cheese.
She hit that fucking Labrador.
Yeah, that solves it.
And then she's like, whoa, man, a ghost! And the ghost is like, my fucking son's been kidnapped! Oh my god! This woman's like... Okay.
300 years ago.
You're marrying? Oh, I heard all about you. You want to come inside for a spot of fucking tea or whatever?
This woman's like...
Oh, you want coffee? Oh, wait, a ghost allergic to coffee? You can't have coffee?
Coffee's bad. Is coffee a bad thing for a ghost?
Is a ghost? You don't like coffee as a ghost or what?
Are you gassy? Is it gas? It's gas, isn't it?
It gives you agitas or whatever in your thingy?
Reacts this horrible ghost curse that this woman is talking to her about, like, with such, like, just like, such flippant attitude. She's like, wow, that's nice. Do you want some cheese?
She's like, yeah. This is when Marion's like, oh, the house keepeth my sonneth in the sideth from the boogedieth, and I'm outsideth, and there's a curseth on the houseth. Kill the cape or whatever.
Yeah, remove the cape from the ghost. Okay.
Okay, sounds like really mundane instructions to beat the supernatural entity, but okay.
Whatever you say, Marion.
Listen, he's a corporeal form, apparently. I thought this thing was, like, stashed away in the house.
Right!
Oh, no. First, the deal this guy made with the devil was really one-sided, and he ultimately came out of it with no advantages.
He's like a warlock. He's not even a ghost.
Yeah, and it also, like, turned him into a giant pile of, like open cysts or something. Like, he's fucking awful-looking.
Well, like I said, man, he looks like the fucking guy from Thinner who gets turned into a lizard person.
Yeah, he looks like chopped meat.
It looks like he's made out of grilled cheese.
Yeah, yeah, hamburger face.
But doesn't she go inside and she's like, I met a ghost, isn't that nice?
Yeah, and then Bud's, like, congratulating her, and he's like, wow, Mom, you went out there and you talked to that ghost, didn't you? I'm so proud of you.
All by yourself. Your agoraphobia is getting better.
So then they all pick up a bunch of fly swatters.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the f-
Because they don't have weapons.
Yeah, but it's a ghost.
It doesn't matter if you pick up a crowbar or a flippity-floppity gag oar like the dad does. It's just got, like, it's got no impact to it.
Foam hammer.
Yeah, it's like when I was a kid and, you know, you pretend to be a Ghostbuster, but you don't have the pack because you left it at your friend's house. So use a fly swatter instead.
And you never saw that pack again.
That's the real crime, Joe.
Or you're my mom, who has insane crafting skills and makes you a proton pack out of cardboard and paint.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So you didn't have Ernest, but you had a cardboard proton pack.
I was at a mom who's committed to making lots of bullshit out of, like, just, like, stuff around the house.
Bless.
I mean, she also didn't let Connor have any Christmas presents, as we've discussed in the past. She gave them all to Sam Whipple.
No Power Rangers for him.
No Power Rangers for you. I don't want to buy the toys.
I'm surprised she didn't make you a Power Ranger.
Yeah, pipe cleaners.
I think she eventually conceded when my dad, like, showed up one Christmas and he's like, I got him all the toys of the flipping heads.
Sweet.
The floodgates are open, Colleen.
So there was a happy ending to that story. Sam Whipple's fucking wringing his hands in the background. He's on the fucking nice list this year.
She'll never listen to this. She still doesn't know what a podcast is. You're on video, right? No, Mom, for the 17th time.
So they start, like you guys were saying, they have these fly swatters, and they're going up the stairs because they kind of hear boogity up there in the attic.
And some sneezing, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Little booger on their back of their neck, kind of like the alien encounter ride in Universal or Disney World.
He's licking him. He's like,
oh, stop it.
Boogity boogity boo, right in your bunghole.
He's like, anywhere my footprints are, I can lick, and I know where you put them. Oh, God. He's like fucking Rump when he's like washing off at the after he fucks that woman.
And here comes my color forms I'm going to stick all over your room.
But yeah, as they're going up slowly, like, first Alf hears a fucking sound in the basement. Then Married with Children hears a sound, and so it's just the parents and the daughter in the attic.
And they disband. But then we find out what's in the Lords of Salem room.
It's just a green light.
It's just a light bulb, because Boogity's a dick.
It's a fucking light. It's a light bulb. And the dad's like, he tricked us. I'm like, no, you're dumb.
Oh, he gave us to, he bamboozled us.
He boogedied us.
We got booed. We got boogity booed.
We got boogity booed. And then the kids are in the basement, and, like, the Married with Children, I think, finds Alf tussling with blue Kamehameha waves for a couple seconds, and then it's actually a child.
Yeah, it's the kid from Munchie.
It's the little child, yes, with the cold.
Who's like, I'm sorry I took your bell. I've been sneezing all over this house for 300 years.
I wiped my fucking nose on your teddy.
It's disgusting.
And your bed sheets and the curtains and the carpet.
Don't look in your closet.
And then he's like, I've been stuck here for 3 centuries, and Mr. Boogity is a jerk, and I only borrowed your teddy bear. I didn't steal it.
And he's like, you can have the bear anyway. Here, I feel bad for you, cold child.
Aww.
Here, you can hold it, but not for keeps.
Yeah, not for keeps. It's just for... He's got it on loan. He's got Mr. Bear on loan.
So then they run upstairs again.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite part of the movie, because now we're introduced to the biggest thundering dumbass in the paranormal world. This guy's a fucking moron.
He rules.
Mr. Boogity's, he's the worst ghost I've ever seen.
He's awesome.
He is ineffective as fuck. Because he shows up and he's like, I'm terrifying. Watch me do some parlor tricks. Boogity, boogity, woo!
he materializes and shoots fucking force lightning into these people's faces and their hair stands up.
But it's just static electricity. It just makes their hair stand up. And the dad's like, hey, can we talk about this? Zap.
Boogity, boo. Nope.
All he does is say boogity, woogity, woogity, woo. And then just shoots things with lightning and makes things move. But you can hit him with baseball bats or something. You can do to him what they did to Pennywise in the New Age, just circle them, bully him.
He is affected by sneezing powder.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's spooking this family, and the two boys are like, here, blow this in his face, and I'm going to whack him with this. I'm going to get the cloak.
We got this from Rumpelstiltskin.
Gag City to the rescue.
Alvin's like, this is sneezing powder, you slime, and then blows it at him.
And he's like, ah!
And then he sneezes.
He sneezes, and I'm like, oh. At some point, I was almost like, okay, so is this when he falls down and they pull the mask off him? And they're like, oh, it was secretly the mayor.
It's Mr. Jenkins.
It was Gomez.
It was Mr. Witherspoon the whole time.
I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you stupid family and your gags.
There's a load of money buried under this house.
Pilgrim money.
I moved the cemetery, but I didn't move the bodies.
What do you think I was doing here at fucking 2 in the morning when you showed up?
Yeah, with speakers that sneeze. Yeah, he just kind of sits there and he's like, boogity boogity. That's all he says is boogity boogity.
Yeah, he boogities the fucking, I think Bud goes after him with like a fucking fireplace shovel.
Yeah.
And he's like, boogity boo, and he turns it into a fucking balloon, and he starts floating up into the air.
And then the dad goes to rescue him by getting a ladder, even though he can reach him?
Yeah, and then he boogities the ladder, and he's just, like, walking up and down the ladder for the rest of the film.
He's just stuck in an infinite loop until his kids save the day. Yeah, because, like, he boogity, okay, and then boogity is the fucking master of his own undoing. He fucking boogities the fucking vacuum cleaner. Which starts chasing the one kid around at like 0.2 miles an hour.
But it's scary.
It's terrifying. It's so scary he has to slowly back away from it.
Oh, it's really scary.
He's like a dog. He doesn't like the vacuum. Why do you think the mom hasn't cleaned this house yet? Because the kids are terrified of the vacuum.
Their son barks at it.
We might get sucked into it, Mom!
It reminded me of that Tales from the Dark Side episode where the kid invents, like, this noise sucker. And it's like a vacuum cleaner that, like, sucks the noise and the life out of things.
Jesus.
It's a good episode.
Sounds like my job.
It's like a Dalek without the extra weaponry to make it actually terrifying. It just fucking rolls around and is like, is that a plunger in the front of you?
Maybe.
But then, like, I can't remember how, but this vacuum cleaner gets close enough to Boogity and it grabs a hold of the end of his cloak and just sucks it off of him.
Yeah, the kid, Alf, runs around him and he's like, no, get it away from me. And he's like, get out of there. Get out of my ass or whatever. Get out from behind me, he says, or some shit.
Get out of my ass? What is this, the fucking Chinese translation Revenge of the Sith? Backstroke of the West.
Yeah, then the fucking cape gets sucked into the vacuum. And, that's it? That's his undoing?
Yeah, Boogity dies like Freddy from whatever that one movie is where he spins around and turns into a bunch of lights.
That's three, isn't it?
That's three. That's Dream Warriors.
Ah, John Saxon dug up my bones and lit them on fire.
And then a dog peed on them later.
Meanwhile, like, in another part of town, John Astin's, like, lighting his fucking bones on fire.
He's in the backyard. Like,
dude, John Astin's sitting there fucking smoking a cigar with both Pennywise.
Hitting fucking golf balls.
Yeah. Skarsgård and fucking Curry are playing cards with fucking, you know, just like chowing down on a couple of kids. The kids from this film, believe it or not.
Yeah, the Pennywise is like, you finally got that guy out of our house? Thank God.
Yeah, isn't the arm the best part, Pennywise? Yeah, it is Pennywise. And they're both chowing down.
It sure is, John Astin.
John Astin just rolling his eyes. He's like,
Get it together already.
Leave Derry, for God's sakes, you bunch of layabouts.
And then Sid Haig fucking comes over and is like, what did you say about clowns, boy?
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Fried chicken.
God, imagine if Sid Haig was in this fucking movie.
I don't know, man.
Just fucking Captain Spaulding comes in and just butchers all these people.
Or no, he's the role of John Astin.
When I come back, if you say you don't like clowns, I'm gonna kill your fucking family.
Who said you can move into my fucking haunted house?
Don't you think we're funny?
No, he actually makes a cameo in the sequel where he runs the Tutti Frutti ice cream stand. I don't know if you knew this.
There was no ice cream in your fucking future.
Now I gotta see this movie, man.
So then they take the cape away, the cloak, whatever.
And Boogity seemingly dies.
They throw it away, boogity boogity boo, and it's gone.
He dematerializes. Then the clown pops out of the fucking vacuum, and there's still like a shard of the cloak.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bud grabs it and goes boogity boo, and then throws it in the air, and it explodes.
Yeah.
Into green shit.
And the clown basically winks at them, and they're like, "Oh, well, at least the house's not haunted anymore." And then you know the clown looks at him and is like, "Want a bet?"
Yeah, it winks at him. But before this, Widow Miriam and Jonathan get a very casual resolution to that awful curse that was placed on them 3 centuries ago. They're just like,
yeah.
They're like, cool, thanks, bye.
it's like a bad Are You Afraid of the Dark episode. They're just like, you did the thing that let us go. Here's a hanky, bye. Because he's sneezing.
And then it fades out to us recording this podcast talking about it.
This whole movie takes place inside the Soul Gym.
Listen, Connor, my body's not ready for such revelations at the moment.
Wait, did you boogity?
I boogitied.
But at what cost? Did you boogie lightning? That's what you did, yeah.
Yeah, and then it just ends after the fucking clown winks at him.
Clown winks and it's over.
Yep, the end.
And then Bride of Boogity happens.
Bride of Boogity happens about 2 years later, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years.
Where they're the most popular family in town.
Ugh.
Everyone loves them except for Eugene Levy. It's great.
They're the most popular family in town because they're the only ones who ever rolled in there with enough common sense to get rid of the fucking ghost that lives in the decrepit house. Like,
but they also, in the second one, they also really lean into the whole "we lived in a haunted house" thing. Like, anytime they get a visitor, they like scare the shit out of them.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, they are great.
Right in the beginning, like the
brother-in-law shows up.
Yeah.
The wife's brother shows up and they just scare the shit out of him. And he's like, "Oh, you get me every time.
Oh, you got me, partners."
It's great.
So for our trick or trash, we got to pick our candy. So what do we got in our treat bags today?
I'll go first as I thought about this. I think me and Sean actually thought about this all day today. I actually love this a great deal, despite the fact that it is kind of objectively awful. it's really stupid and it's just full of really corny shit, but it's really endearing. This is a singular Reese's peanut butter cup, and it's very brief, but it's delicious, and I love it. that's very simple and to the point. That's really all I have to say. I don't know. It's old timey 1980s Disney Channel charm that you can't really like. Doesn't really exist anymore, and it's got a
don't make them like that
and
anymore.
It's got a shoestring budget and weird celebrity appearances and a ghost that's so stupid and just ineffective that the whole thing kind of ends up as being very entertaining. So yeah,
this is a fun size Milky Way for me.
Same route.
yeah, same kind of thing. It's like, you know, I don't have any built-in nostalgia for this because I don't for the life of me I can't remember watching Mr. Boogity as a child. But it transported me. I'll tell you what. I felt like a little kid sitting on that couch watching this. Like, ooh, it's a Disney Halloween special of the week, you know? And, I'm going to have to agree with Connor on this one. It was a little sweet nugget that it was brief and delicious. And, I'll watch it next Halloween.
You know, I'm going to call this little guy a Jolly Rancher. And I say that because I used to love Jolly Ranchers back in the day, especially as a kid. And I feel like if I saw this movie as a kid, I would have been super fucking into it. But I didn't really like this movie. You know, it was just... I'm not the fucking demographic. I like some of the spookier elements, like towards the end when the house starts really freaking out when Boogity makes his presence known and like the fucking light bulbs are blowing up and fucking papers and shit are flying all over the place. But I make the Jolly Rancher comparison because, you know, when I'm younger, you know, I could eat fucking a whole pack of those goddamn things. No problem. But 31, looking out on the barrel of a gun, I don't know if I want to be chewing on Jolly Ranchers until my teeth fall out. So that got a lot more morbid than I intended it to. But yeah, Jolly Jesus. Rancher. Not bad, but not great either.
All right. For me, I know what you guys are talking about this time, so that helps. You're not just throwing me under the bus here with pick a candy.
Yeah. You had a year to prepare, I hope so.
Trick or treat.
All right, this is a movie that I grew up on. I grew up on a VHS of this and the sequel, kind of wore out that tape. It has everything I love about Halloween rolled into one delicious little package. So I'm going to go with a Take 5,
okay,
which has everything I love in a candy rolled up into one delicious package. You got your silly jokes, your goofy scares, some ridiculous set design, and you have Gomez Adams. I love this movie. I watch it every Halloween. It's one of my favorites. It's a tradition.
You know, you mentioned Gomez Adams, and I'm reminded of that. So I guess, you know, it's not just a Jolly Rancher. It's a blue raspberry Jolly Rancher. Okay, guys?
Ooh.
That's fair.
Higher tier Jolly Rancher, in my opinion.
Is it a booberry?
Oh, you know what? I just had some Frankenberry, so sure.
Oh, man, I've been eating it all week. I got Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry on fucking rotation this week.
Bring back Yummy Mummy, you cowards.
Yeah? Fucking A.
The best one, easy.
What the hell?
Forgot all about that guy.
They brought it back 1 year, and now they're like, no, he's back in the vault.
Him and Fruit Brute, never again. Bye.
Oh, man, Fruit Brute.
Even though we have the recipe to make it.
Even though they have it. They make it.
I will say, though, you know, looking back at last year's Trick or Trash, it blows Madea and fucking American Werewolf in Paris out of the water, you know, for what it's worth.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of Madea and water, that movie is like being held in a barrel of it for like 7 minutes at a time. Like, it's unbearable.
I would watch this 9,000 times again before I watched either of those.
However many times I can fit this movie into Boo Madea's runtime is how many times I would watch it over Boo Madea, okay?
I think it fits comfortably like twice.
Two and a half.
Yeah, I would sit through two of these in a row and sit through that fucking piece of shit ever again.
And honestly, Matt, we did our Blockbuster Bomb series, and we had 13th Warrior in there, we had Deep Rising, we even had Clash of the Titans, the remake, but we had Pluto Nash and Green Lantern in there, man, and that shit was rough, so I'm glad we got to something that I didn't totally hate.
Yeah, this is a nice palate cleanser, and it's a nice...
You're welcome.
It's a nice introductory film to this month, and yeah, kicked up them spooks. I'm in the mood. I don't know about you guys.
Hell yeah.
I think I finally am. Thanks, Boogity.
I'm ready to bite down into something else.
Yeah, Matt, is there anything you want to plug?
Indeed I do. I have a friend. His name is Jacob DeNoble. We have a podcast over at Talk Film Society right now called Monsters Never Die, where we look at all the original Universal monsters as well as their reimaginings, ripoffs, and remakes. So it's a lot of fun, and hopefully it'll continue beyond spooky season.
So are you doing Tom Cruise's The Mummy? Because it's a bit of a joke around here at Movie Dumpster.
We mentioned it.
That's about all it really deserves, to be fair. You know, the Brandon Fraser movies are good.
We spent about 30 seconds on the Tom Cruise Mummy. We spent about half an hour of our 45-minute episode on the Brendan Fraser movie.
They're so good.
Because it's perfect.
Thank you. Scorpion King's okay, too.
Haven't seen it.
I'm not going to recommend it, but it's okay.
Tomb of the Dragon Emperor is good, too. I'm that guy.
Fuck, yes. It's awesome.
It's real good.
It's got Michelle Yeoh. It's great.
Sign me up. Jet Li is the mummy? Like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
Ancient Chinese mummy shit. Okay. Terracotta Army? Okay. So that's it. That's Mr. Boogity from 1986, directed by Oz Scott.
Hey, everybody, if you want some more bad movie goodness, you can check us out at MovieDumpsterPodcast.com.
Subscribe to us anywhere you get your podcasts, and make sure to leave us a 5-star review if you dig the show, because it helps us get out of the bottom of the dumpster and into more eardrums.
Yeah, and if you're on the social medias, you can follow us at Movie Dumpster on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
I'm Connor McGraw.
I'm Matt Carrione.
Thanks for visiting the dumpster.
Vincent Price?
A boogity woogity.
Was it too much? Boogity boogity boo?
No, I like it.
That was good.
Boogity! Boogity!
Hey, isn't that a little chancy? I mean, this is Halloween. Isn't that when all the creepy things are supposed to stalk the earth?
It deals with demons.
demon resurrection of those forces which roam the forest and dark bowers of man's domain. The first few pages warn that these enduring creatures may lie dormant, but are never truly dead.
It's Halloween, gentlemen. Halloween, have you forgotten?
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Trick or treat.
Ha 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 ha!